Welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're going to be talking about how you live through a period of hyperinflation. Now, I realize we're not in a period of hyperinflation. It looks like we're going into a period of deflation. But either way, there's going to be some pain and there's going to be some adjustments. And I've been reviewing Larry Burkett, our co-founder's book, The Coming Economic Earthquake, and he wrote a chapter called Deflation or Inflation. And listen to what he said. There's a strong argument in economic circles that the U.S. economy will enter a deflationary phase during which prices will actually fall and the economy will slow significantly. The winners in such an economy are those with cash and those who are debt-free. In contrast, an inflationary economy benefits the borrowers and promotes greater indebtedness. But listen to how accurate Larry was. He said, after this period of deflation, it is my assumption that some event will initiate a massive spending cutback on the part of consumers. This could be a stock market crisis, an oil embargo, but more likely it'll be the collapse of several mega banks, insurance companies, or large corporations. And remember what he said earlier, there's no way to determine such events that far in advance. So no one knows the future. But at some point, the economy must come full circle. Recession to inflation, back to recession. Then a governing administration that has pledged itself to no recessions will be facing a possible depression. And when that happens, I assume, and I'm quoting Larry, all the stops will be pulled and whatever is necessary will be done, including monetizing the debt or printing new money. Now, at first, the amount of fiat money issued probably will be just enough to cover the deficits that cannot be funded through increased taxes or new loans. But as the need grows, so will the printing of money. And one day, this nation will experience the ravages of hyperinflation. Now, hyperinflation is a terrible circumstance that none of us want to face, and I don't think we're headed into hyperinflation. But I think we need to know how to be prepared for it. And so today I've asked Dr. Andres Panasuk to be our guest. Andres is the Senior Vice President of our Latin American Outreach, and he has a unique life experience in that he grew up in Argentina that went through complete economic collapse and the ravages of hyperinflation, and he understands some of the defensive moves to live through those circumstances. Now, without being alarmist, I just want you to hear his story and to understand his perspective on how you live through hyperinflation. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley.
Having trouble keeping up with the latest job trends? Not sure where you fit into the marketplace of the 21st century? Well, let me introduce you to a revolutionary career assessment system based on the timeless truth of the Bible, Career Direct from Crown Financial Ministries. Career Direct is designed to help you maximize your God-given talents by focusing on the four critical components in career selection: personality, interests, skills, and values. Most other career guidance tools only analyze a couple of those. Thanks to cutting-edge technology, this comprehensive assessment can be completed in about an hour. And since it's online, once you're done, Career Direct will give you a thorough but easy-to-read personalized report. If you'd like to join the over 120,000 people who have already benefited from using Career Direct, go to crown.org. Find out where God intends for you to fit into the workforce of the 21st century by using the Career Direct Complete Guidance System at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and our special guest today is Dr. Andres Panasuk. Andres, great to have you with us.
A pleasure to be with you.
I know that you have a unique life experience in that you grew up in Argentina.
That's correct.
And you've seen a volatile economy before.
Oh, tell me. This is all coming back to me now. I feel like I'm back home.
Well, Andres, I know our audience is going to enjoy hearing your story today. So tell us a little bit about yourself, how you grew up in Argentina, and some of your life experiences and lessons.
My grandfather came from the Ukraine in the early 1900s, like many, many other Europeans. There are about 5 million Slavs living in the southern part of South America, Uruguay, Argentina, Paraguay, Chile. So my grandpa was one of those that came in 1927. He was a young man, was married to a beautiful bride, and had a little baby. And that baby was my father. He was the first of 11 children. They were moved from the port of Buenos Aires when they arrived to the northeast of the country, in the heart of, and lived in the heart of the Amazon jungle. At a time when the Amazon jungle was, you know, you could hardly enter into them. So it was a miracle that my grandma and my grandpa survived the experience with so many kids. But they did, like many other immigrants, and my life is the life of an immigrant family in a South American country. So I grew up in a Ukrainian family, attended a Russian-speaking church in an Italian neighborhood in a Spanish-speaking country, and now I'm married to an American lady who grew up in Africa.
So you're so, the United Nations all in one.
My poor kids, they don't know who they are.
But, you know, Andres, when you grew up in Argentina, you saw great economic volatility. What happened when you were actually living there?
You know, some people think about Argentina. They think, well, South America, you know, big ranches, a lot of cattle, and they think about agriculture. But actually, you know, Argentina was, at the beginning of the 1900s, Argentina was the sixth largest economy in the world. We were a big country. We had an economy as large as any other nation in Europe, twice as large as Spain, for example. We have a very well-educated population, 97% literacy rate. There are more graduates from university in my country, percentage-wise, than in Australia or in Great Britain. So this is a well-educated population. 97% of Argentinians have family members who live abroad. So the native people from the land make only about 2 or 3% of our population. Most of us come from other countries. The majority come from Europe. So Argentina, if you think about Argentina, would be the Spanish-speaking version of the United States. Okay, mm-hmm. With a lot of people from all over the world, all living together, but speaking Spanish in that case.
And a lot of European influence there, right?
Yeah, Buenos Aires, for example, is the sixth largest Jewish city in the world. It's one of the largest Polish cities in the world. We have a lot of Polish, Ukrainians, Germans, a huge German population. So, you know, this is a very unique nation who was very successful until 1940s or so.
Well, what happened, Andres? You obviously have seen it fall from its great status as one of the world's leading economic powers.
Yes.
To a great decline. Now, yeah. What brought that about?
Well, it took us a lot of work. It took us about 60 years of hard labor to destroy the sixth largest economy in the world. But with perseverance, we did it. You know, we are not very proud of that, but we have been working at it for a long time, and we finally destroyed this wonderful economy. And what happened, I think, is that several things. Number one, Argentina was one of the very first countries to convert to socialism. In 1917, 1919, we embraced socialism as the avant-garde ideas in the world. France moved to this type of government, and Mexico also jumped into it. What eventually became the Soviet Union, and Argentina was there because we thought, you know, that was the way to go. And some of the policies that we implemented were good for the people, and some of the policies were terrible for the nation. So it eventually began to unravel in the 1970s. And you know what? These times in the United States remind me of Argentina in 1973, 1974. I was about 10 years old at that time, and the thinking in those days was the government cannot go broke. it is impossible that the government can go broke. So the government can fix our economic situation and can jump in. You know, I was reading a couple of days ago the Wall Street Journal, and it said in page A2, Monday, October 6, it says, the U.S. doesn't need the IMF cash, but does need its help. And when I read this line, I thought, well, many Americans don't know what the IMF is.
Right. They've never heard of it.
No, but you will know.
Right.
You will know.
Right.
You will know who the IMF is and
yes.
what the IMF does and
yes.
The rules. And you know what happened? We just became a slave nation.
Well, it stands for International Monetary Fund.
That's correct.
And our nation is looking to the International Monetary Fund for help, which in the past you only saw very weak
yes.
and struggling or developing
yes.
countries that would
yes.
even consider that.
That's correct. That's correct. So we you know what, Chuck? We were a free nation. We were a free nation. And now we have become a slave. We will know what the IMF is. We will know about the United Nations. And we will know about rules that will be set for us and goals for our growth and how much we can charge in interest.
Well, Andres, you lived through a period of incredible hyperinflation. Argentina experienced 1,000% inflation in back-to-back years.
Yes.
And the rules for living through that are totally different.
That's correct.
If you're living through deflation. And I want you to share some insights on how to get through hyperinflation in case that's a scenario that we're all going to face here. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back with Dr. Andres Panasuk.
Are you over 50 and thinking about retirement? Well, if you want to actually experience retirement one day, you have to plan for it. And we have a book that'll tell you how. It's Your Money After the Big 5-0, written by Crown Financial Ministries co-founder Larry Burkett and financial planner Ron Blue. Your Money After the Big 5-0 will equip you with biblical wisdom and practical advice for succeeding in the second half of life, having a fully funded retirement, and being free to serve the Lord. And you'll learn about the importance of finishing strong and leaving a legacy of stewardship to your children and grandchildren. If you're ready to put together a financial plan for a retirement that'll honor God and give you wealth at last, get a copy of Your Money After the Big 5-0 right now at crown.org. Your Money After the Big 5-0 by Larry Burkett and Ron Blue is available online at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and our guest today is Dr. Andres Panasuk, who is discussing with us the lessons he learned growing up in Argentina under a socialistic government that began to borrow money from other nations, began to look to the IMF, and also began to print a lot of money, Andres.
That's correct.
Tell us what you saw happening as you were living there and seeing this unfold.
Well, you know, we completely crashed the economy in the middle of 1980, 1986, 1988. We reached this hyperinflationary period. But in between, we went through 15 years of inflationary period because the government thought that they could make commitments and then they could print the money without backing the money with gold. They could print that a little bit of it in order to, you know, fulfill their commitments. But what actually happened is that once you open that Pandora box of printing money without being backed by gold, you are in for a very rough ride. What happens is that people start losing confidence we change our money 4 times in 10 years.
You mean the entire currency?
The entire currency. We call it something completely different.
Just started over.
Yes. It was called the peso, then it was called the Argentinian peso, then it was called the Patagon, the Austral. It was called, you know, and then eventually when the currency and the economy unravel, then every state started printing their own type of money. I remember arriving in my country right after I got married in 1988, and prices will change twice a day, at 9 o'clock in the morning and at 3 p.m. when the markets will open and the markets will close. And the entire nation will change all the prices in all the goods twice a day.
Now, Andres, that is a nightmare scenario, and one in which our co-founder, Larry Burkett, said back in 1991 that this country one day may face. Now, we don't know if, in fact, we will get to hyperinflation. We don't know that.
No.
But if we were to get in a situation like that, how do you live day to day, Andres? What are some of the strategies to be prepared for it?
Well, you know, the Bible is still truth, even in those situations. And I always tell people, you know, budgeting is not a biblical principle. Budgeting is an application of a biblical principle. The biblical principle is you need to have a plan. So you need to have a plan, even if you are getting into inflation or hyperinflation. You know, Zimbabwe has experienced in the last year or so inflation in the millions. Well, a budget will not help you very much, but you can still have a plan in order to survive in a hyperinflationary situation. Even if we don't get into a hyperinflation, the rules are different. For example, you need to, the main thing you need to keep in mind is that the dollar will lose value. Constantly lose value. And what, because it's losing value, then it will cost you more to purchase things. Anything that comes from abroad, it will be more expensive. Things are going to be more expensive. Food is going to be more expensive. Drinks are going to be more expensive. You know, if you buy your children soft drinks, every time you go to the store, it will be more expensive. A rent will go up. So prices of things will go up all the time. Mm-hmm. The only problem is you are not making much.
Right.
You know, so more money.
The value of your currency is going down. The price of goods is going up. So you're in there's this horrible trap.
Yes.
You're losing wealth all the time.
All the time.
What do you do, Andres?
So
how do you survive that?
Yeah, so what you do is, for example, in an inflationary situation, you don't save. You save in a very different way. You save by spending all your salary, for example, at the beginning of the month. Because you know that by the end of the month, you will have 10%, 15% less. So when you get your salary, then you go grocery shopping and you do grocery shopping for the whole month. You buy things like gasoline, for example. You may want to buy gasoline for the whole month. You may want to have some type of a receptacle in order to keep that amount of gas for the rest of the month, but that will save you a few dollars there because gas will keep going up throughout the month. You plan ahead in your purchases. You save in a different way. For example, if you're a businessman, my father was a businessman, he will invest in his own business. So any penny that he will have extra at the end of the month, he will invest it in goods for his business because goods are going up all the time and are keeping up with inflation. Cash is not going up, you know, keeping up with inflation. So then, for example, you may want to consider foreign currencies that are opposite to the dollar. In Argentina, we used to buy dollars until the government outlawed the purchasing of foreign currencies. Then us believers didn't want to break the law. We didn't have the possibility of buying a foreign currency. But if you are you're in a situation in which the value of your money is going down, then, and it's legal, then go ahead and get some money in other foreign currencies. So the rules are different. For example, if you have a mortgage and your mortgage is a fixed rate, I wouldn't prepay the mortgage. In a regular time, I would pay my mortgage as fast as I can. But if I have a solid job, a job that I will hold over time, then and I have a mortgage with a fixed interest rate, I will not touch that mortgage. I will pay it every month faithfully over the years, because the longer I take to pay my mortgage, the less the house costs me. My sister bought a house in 1973, right before the first inflationary period in my country. And I remember a few years later, it was more expensive for her to catch a bus and go downtown to pay her mortgage payment than the mortgage payment itself.
The mortgage payment itself. Wow. Well, Andres, I want you to come back with us after this break, and let's offer some hope and some insight for our listeners on what we see happening next in this economy. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
You know, the Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, and that includes teaching them God's way of managing money. But how do you make learning the basics about money easy for kids ages 3 and up? Try the ABCs of Money package from Crown Financial Ministries. The ABCs of Money package has two interactive ways for children to learn what the Bible says about money. First, there's the ABC Learning Bank. It has three detachable compartments made in the shape of the letters A, B, and C. Your kids will use one for giving, one for saving, and one for spending. The package also comes with the ABCs of Handling Money God's Way student workbook. Through an interesting study, simple Bible studies, and fun, hands-on activities, your kids will learn not only about money, but also some important things about God. Invest in the future of your children by teaching them God's way of managing money with the ABCs of Money package. It's available at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and Andres, when we left off, it's a pretty grim scenario if we were to ever get to that point of hyperinflation. And we know it's a possibility, but there's also a strong possibility that this is going to turn around, that we can make the right decisions now as a government, as individuals, and to really not get ourselves into that situation. What do you see that needs to happen, Andres?
Yeah, that's correct. You know, this is a very large government. It's about 10 times the size of Argentina. So it took us about 15 years to go down the drain with the economy. It will take a long time for this nation to, you know, have their economy destroyed. But, you know, we still have time to turn around. We have time, for example, to look at the Lord for provision instead of ourselves. We have time to say, okay, let's start paying our national debt. Let's get healthier. America was the largest creditor in the world in the 1970s, and now we are the largest debtor. Can we get back to be a creditor? That would be a much better position to be. For business people, we need to start relying less on debt and credit, and more on, you know, building up your business in a solid way. For families as well, you know, pay off your credit cards, for goodness sake. If you have any type of variable interest rate, get rid of that. You know, even if your mortgage is has a variable interest rate, go into a fixed interest rate. Change it into a fixed interest rate. That will help you no matter what. And then pay off your debts as soon as you can and become free. That would be, you know, that would be a situation in which even in the worst times, remember that during the Great Depression, yes, we had a lot of people that were without jobs and were in a terrible situation, but more than 50% of the population was, you know, still had a job.
Sure, 70%.
70%, yeah. Right? So, you know, so if you have a job, try to have a healthy economy at home. That will help you go through the difficult times.
Well, Andres, as you said, that the Lord warned us that if we're the borrower, that we become the tail and not the head. But that's if correct. We obey Him, we become the lender, which is the person in charge. That puts that's you correct. At the head. And so fundamentally, at the very core of this, we as a nation, as a government, we have to get our financial house in order to avoid this kind of devastating circumstance, don't we?
That's correct. We were free. We were a free nation. And I think that we need to go back to that place where we were about 20, 25 years ago. Be free, be a leader in the world, you know, trust in God. Our money says, in God we trust. And I think that we should live up to that statement. We need to surrender to the Lord and surrender to His guidance.
Well, Andres, it has been a joy having you on the program. Will you come back?
Oh, a pleasure. Yes.
You've been listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back with you again next week.